Good morning, church. It's really good to be back among you and with you. This is a lovely Christian community, and I always welcome the opportunity to come and have fellowship with you. And I also welcome the fact that you very often come and have fellowship in Romania with us, and that's good too. So the word is hisjibak. That means come again soon. Right. Now, for those of you who are not very aware of the ministry that's going on in our little part of Romania, we're going to have a few pictures up on the screen. And we have a foundation, as it's called in Romania. It's a charity, really, which is principally for children and teenagers. Not exclusively, but principally. And we have a couple of minibuses, and we bring them from our zone, Zona San Paolo, which is a zone of six villages, and we fetch the children in to the center that we have in our village, which is called Shardu. And we bring them in these minibuses. There are about 200 young people above come through every week to the various programs we have, all-age program Wednesday, Teens Club Friday, Teens Church on Sunday. That's probably the best attended, actually, which is good. And then we have English classes, three English classes a week, and we have discipleship class on Tuesday, and so on and so forth. So that's what our purpose is out there. Now, God has blessed the work. A number of young people have committed their lives to Jesus Christ, and they're going on well with him, and more are on their way, praise God. But we have, in the next village, a very large gypsy community. Now, the gypsies in Romania are not as the travelers are here, moving around all the time. They tend to be static. And just move on, if you will, to wherever we are. Yeah. So God laid in our hearts quite a long time ago that we should do something for these people. They're the poorest of the poor in Romania. They're not well loved. There are probably reasons for that, but they're not. And we decided that God wanted us to build a center for them. And this is it in the going to open this second center, which will be more or less exclusively for the Roma people in this place in San Paolo. And they'll have programs identical to the programs that we have in Shardu for young people, but for adults as well. And they're very excited about their new center. And we pray that God will just move in that community, save many of them, make them his disciples, change them. This community has a reputation for violence and lawlessness. There are about 400 plus people live there, and they really do, they need God's grace. They need God's grace. So the center will be in a place for programs for them. And, the Apostle Paul received a word from God relative to Corinth. God said to Paul, relative to Corinth, I have many people in this city. And we believe that God has said to us, I have many people in this community. We believe that. There's a number of them already been saved and baptized and are going on with God. And we believe that grace is coming to many of them. Now, these pictures that you've just seen, it's another little story of God's grace and goodness. There's a family in Burundu. They're not Roma. They're just the poorest of the families in the whole of our zone. And they lived, there were five of them, lived in a single room. The floor was on the above another room, and it was bowing, and it was ready to collapse. There were eight people living in one room, very small, probably about 14 by 14 feet. And we showed a picture of this in April when we brought a bunch of young Romanians across with a puppet ministry. And a lady came up she called us over afterwards. She was in a wheelchair, and she said, Pastor, how much would it cost to renovate that house? We weren't asking for money. We weren't asking for anything. We were just showing them the needs. And I said, oh, a lot of money. The house is falling down, literally. About £10,000 may do it. I'll give you that, she said. And I said, well, my, thank you. I spoke to the pastor, and he said, yeah, she can afford it. Just take it, because she don't like to. So we started work in October. And the roof was collapsing in this house. The floor, as I said, in the room which we were to live was in pretty dangerous condition. There were two walls that were crumbling. Most of the walls were crumbling. So the two walls we pushed over, the roof we took off, we put a brand new roof on. It's got a new with new timbers and a loft and new walls. And three rooms have been prepared now in that house. That was the house. See how pretty shonky it is. Well, it's all renovated now. They've got three wonderful rooms. They've got heaters in all the rooms. And there's a ninth member of the family. A baby was born in December. So they have a lovely home to live in, warm, comfortable. And that's God's grace and goodness. He loves the poor. Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. Well, we see a lot of poverty out there in Romania, because it still is, in many, many, many areas, a poor, poor country. But this family, God has blessed. And we pray that God will continue to bless them and bring them into their heavenly home, the knowledge of Him. So there we are. That'll do for just now. My wife brings her greetings also. She's going to just bring a very quick greeting from the villagers and Shardu. She doesn't want to speak. It's going to be a chilly journey home, I can tell you.
It is really nice to be with you again. We always love to come to Redditch because the family here is so friendly and so welcoming. So thank you for having us again today. Just want to say, a big greeting from Shardu. Our young people and children, whenever we mention Redditch and Pastor Robin, they sort of liven up and say, yes, we know them. You come every year, or you have been for a number of years. And they just love Pastor Robin and the people he brings. So a big greeting, and just to say, God bless you. And it's lovely to be here again. Thank you for having us.
Well done. Thank you. So be one of the loved and come in the next trip that's coming out, hopefully this year. Now then, I don't often say this because it sounds awfully, but I do believe that I've got a word from God for this community. Not just this community, but I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read from the 10th verse, and these are words that you're familiar with, but we'll focus in on the word that I believe that I want to speak on particularly. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And here's the verse that I want to focus on. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. There is a phrase that is probably well known to known to all of us. It is walking in the corridors of power. You have that phrase? Walking in the corridors of power. It's a phrase that's used for people who are at the top or very, very high up in their chosen vocations or professions. And especially we use it for people like politicians. David Cameron walks in the corridors, not just at Westminster, but in the corridors of power. He and his government can change laws that affect many, many hundreds, thousands, even millions of lives. Industrialists, those captains of industry, you know, people who have control of vast industrial industries, and they have authority or they have power over many, many hundreds, even thousands of lives. Bankers, those in the media, the television, newspapers and magazine editors, etc. People who have the power to influence the direction of the lives of many, many folk. And of course, that would include nowadays entertainers, wouldn't it? And pop stars and film stars and sporting people. They all have an influence because of media and presentations and all the rest of it. And they have an influence on people that's either good or in many cases not so good. To walk in the corridors of power means to have influence over many and affect the direction of their lives in big or small ways. Now, there are many, of course, who crave this kind of power, who crave this kind of influence. And they work very, very hard, and they spend a great deal of time and effort, and if they have it, money, to get into the places of power where they can influence others. But the vast majority of people are excluded from that place of power. Just normal, average people. We don't. But I want to tell you this morning, Christian, whoever you are, I want to say this to you, that no matter how insignificant in the eyes of the world, and especially in the eyes of the temporal power brokers, you may be, there is given access. You are given access to the corridors of divine power. You are given access to the corridors of divine power. Access to the very heart of heaven. Access to the throne of God through Jesus Christ. You have this access to power that is beyond any earthly power or dominion. Jesus, in teaching his disciples the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will," and we referred to it this morning in the singing and in the worship, "your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." How do you think God's will is done in heaven? Totally, completely, utterly, absolutely. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Madden referred to that. Here on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father. Our Father. That's the thing. We have relationship. God is our Father. Let's say it together. God is my Father. God is my Father. Because he is. The ultimate power in the universe. Indeed, by his word, the universe exists. And when we hallow his name, we are acknowledging that he is first and only God. And that his alone is glory, majesty, power, and authority. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven," do you think that Jesus was expressing a kind of a fond sentiment? "Let your kingdom come, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." You know, what a nice idea. What a nice thought. Wouldn't it be good if? Do you think Jesus was saying that to his disciples? I don't think that for a minute. I think that Jesus was telling his disciples that the outcome of real and fervent prayer, of entering in to the presence of Almighty God, his Father, our Father, he was telling them that the outcome of real and fervent prayer would be that there would be as a consequence, there would come an in-sweep, of the rule and reign of God, of the power and the influence of God. The consequence of prayer, the consequence of walking in the corridors of divine power, would be that there would be an insweep of divine power and glory and majesty, his presence, his life-changing, circumstance-changing, people-changing presence. Isn't that exciting? This is the access he has given us. Because we can walk in the corridors of divine power. So I want to look just for a little while at this aspect of real and fervent prayer. Oh, boring. Here we go again. Oh, dear. Turn off time. Well, I want you to hang on a minute. Because, you know, it really is quite exciting. And the consequences are potentially, listen now, the consequences are potentially life-changing. The consequences are potentially people-changing. The consequences are potential circumstance-changing. And they are even area-changing. Do you need and want some change in your own personal life? I know I do. Do you want to see some change in the lives of those around you, your loved ones, or maybe your neighbors, or your friends, or even your enemies? I know I do. Not that I have many enemies, I think. Do you want to see the circumstances in which you're currently living changing? Do you want to see change in this area, this city or town of Redditch? Well, that's the consequence of walking in the corridors of divine power. And after all, those that walk in the corridors of secular power do so usually because of great dedication and hard work. So should serious Christians be any the less conscientious about the unspeakable privilege that God has given to them? Paul, at the end of his exhortation to the Christians in Ephesus, to be equipped to fight a good fight against the principalities and powers, the rulers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, and they're very, very obvious in our society right now, especially now. At the end of it, he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Now, this is, I think, sometimes a little bit overlooked. But it's a highly, listen to me here, it's a highly significant sentence. It's a highly significant exhortation. It's a highly significant word from God, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul. And what Paul means, praying in the Spirit, what does Paul mean by praying in the Spirit? Well, I think that he gives another helpful insight in Romans 8, 26. And 27. Romans 8, 26 and 27. When he says, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because, and so on and so forth it goes. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. That's very good, that. You know, it's really clever. Now, listen. Praying in the Spirit. It may well be that fervent prayer in the language that we know, and when the burden of the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we are agonizing before God, we're really seeking the face of God in our own language, it may well be that counts as praying in the Spirit. But Paul says that in the battle in which we're involved, which is a battle against the principalities and powers, rulers of wickedness in high places, Paul says we don't know what we ought to pray for. And my understanding of praying in the Spirit is praying in the Spirit-given language, the spiritual gift language, which I haven't learned. And this is a Holy Spirit gift. And if you're a child of God, then God will give you this gift. It's accessible to every child of God. It's accessible to every Christian. It's a gift that every child of God may be given. And God is our Heavenly Father. And he will not withhold any gift that is to our spiritual advantage or to our spiritual benefit and effectiveness. Okay? So this gift is accessible to you. Christian, believer in Jesus Christ, follower of his. Now, it seems to me that this spiritual gift is sometimes a little bit looked down upon. Gift of tongues, yeah, well. Yeah, I remember when I was when I'd finished college, and we were being interviewed, those of us who felt God calling us into the ministry. I remember standing before what was then called the Executive Council, the big men. They call them the NLT now. But anyway, we all had to go into these the austere presence of these fellows. And I do remember that there was one man on the Executive Council that was then called P.S. Brewster. Now, he was a great man of God. He was probably the nearest thing that I knew to being an apostle. He opened many, many, many churches. He was then pastor of the biggest church that Elam had, which was Cardiff City Temple. He was a mighty man of God. Now, during this interview, there were various questions asked, and he fixed me with a sort of an icy eye. And he said, "Young man, do you have the gift of tongues?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "And do you use this gift?" And I had to be honest. I said, "Not really." And he said, "Well, you should." That's all he said. You know, I thought that was interesting, significant. And, you know, a lot of us treat the gifts of God in a little bit of a laissez-faire way. Well, yeah, but they're there. Well, we manage fine with our own strength. We manage fine with our own resources. Unfortunately, while we may meander through life with our own resources, we certainly are not hitting the high notes that God wants us to hit. When he gives gifts, it's not because he's just being a kind father. He gives gifts that we might be as effective as it is possible for us to be in whatever the calling and whatever the role we have here on earth. And Paul says, covet earnestly the gifts, the best gifts. Covet them. Do you covet the gifts of the Holy Spirit, my brother and sister? Do you find in this materialistic world where we're taught to covet the new television, the new car, the bigger house, the new kitchen, and all the rest of it, do you cover that which is fundamentally important? The provision of God himself. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you covet them? That's a good direction to be going. Thou shalt not covet except for the gifts of the Spirit. Now, Paul's teaching on the use of tongues in 1 Corinthians 14 very often brings about misunderstandings of what he's actually saying. Something that Paul's actually denigrating the gift of tongues. He's not. He's teaching the proper use. Teaching the proper use of it. Did you know, in verse 18, Paul puts this little statement in. He said, "I speak in tongues more than all of you." So is he denigrating the gift? No, of course he's not. He's trying to bring the Corinthians, who are a bit of a reprobate bunch, he's trying to bring them into line with God's pattern and plan for the use of this gift. Now, God says through Paul two things that are really significant about the gift of tongues. He says, first of all, you're speaking mysteries to God. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for as we ought. We're speaking mysteries to God. And then the second thing he says is, and this is so powerful. He says in verse 4, he says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Well, I tell you, if you're fighting in the battle, if you're doing the work that God has called you to do, if you're being effective in the work of the kingdom of God, then there are times when you, many times, when you will need to be edified, lifted up, built up, made strong in your spirit. And that's a gift that's given for this very purpose. This is the word of God. It's not Bob McDonald's word. It's the word of God. He speaks in a tongue, edifies himself. Now, Paul is saying this because he's speaking in the context of the church in Corinth. Prophesy in the church. Bring words that the people understand. Don't stand up and babble in a language that they can't understand in the church. But in your own home, in your own devotions, in your own walk with God, as you're driving down the motorway in your car. Well, they didn't do that in the Corinthian day, but, you know, there's a gift whereby you can edify yourself, build yourself up in spirit, make yourself strong in the things of God and in your faith. And remember that when you're praying in the spirit, you're speaking mysteries to God. We don't understand what we're saying, but God does. Now then, I have some heroes and heroines of the faith. I can't remember if I said this when I was last with you, but if I did, forgive an old man, you know, age and condition and all the rest of it. But it's important anyway, and it won't do you any harm to hear it a second time. One of my heroes of the faith is a man called David Yonggi Cho. He's a South Korean pastor, and at one stage, I don't think it's the case now, but at one stage, he pastored the biggest church in the world. And they started with services, I think it was either 6 or 8 o'clock, then 10 o'clock, then 12 o'clock, then 2 o'clock, then 4 o'clock, and 6 o'clock, and so on and so forth. People just crowded to come and worship God and to hear the word of God. Now, he didn't start with that sort of church. He started with nothing. But he realized the value of access to the corridors of divine power. And he walked in these corridors. And he sought the face of God conscientiously and consistently for many years. And he used to get up early in the morning to seek the face of God because he was serious about God and God's kingdom. He tells a little story that, you know, very early in the morning he was married and he had a mother-in-law, and his mother-in-law was keen that he should be strong in the things of God. And she used to put an icy flannel on his face early in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And he said, "Just kill me, mother, just kill me." But he got up. And he sought the face of God. And God's kingdom came using his ministry and hundreds, and then thousands, and many, many, many thousands. You see, he took the things of God seriously. He spent time in the presence of God. He walked in the corridors of divine power. I have another heroine. I had the privilege of meeting her in 1994, I think it was, at a conference that a number of us had gone to. And her name is Jackie Pullinger. You've heard of her? Some of you have heard of her? Yeah, powerful woman of God. And she was a young woman who felt God's call in her life to go and minister. She didn't quite know where. So she got on this tramp steamer that was sailing around the world and stopping at various ports. And every time it docked, she would say, "Is this the place, Lord?" "Is this the place, Lord?" "No." "Is this the place?" And so on and so forth. Until she got to Hong Kong. "Is this the place, Lord?" "Yes." And she got off. And she started establishing herself in her ministry. And she said, for the first period of time, I don't know whether it was months or longer, she said, I prayed for people to be healed. And nothing much happened. I witnessed to people that they might be saved. And they weren't. And then she said, "I met some loud Americans." Aren't they all? No, possibly not. If you're American, God bless you. I'm with you. I'm for you. But she met. This is what she said. "I met some loud Americans, and they were talking. And they said, 'Jackie, do you have the gift of tongues?' And she said, 'Yes.' And she said, 'Do you use it?' She said, 'Not really.' And then they said, much as P.S. Brewster said to me, 'Well, you should.' And so she said, I determined that I was going to pray in tongues for half an hour every day. And she said, it was hard work. And I tell you, it is hard work. It will be hard work if you're serious for God. I prayed in tongues for half an hour a day, and it was hard work. She said, but you see, the difference was that very, very soon after, when I witnessed to people, they got saved. When I prayed for people, they were healed. And the reason was, she said, was God was getting into my praying. God was getting into my prayers. We don't know what we ought to pray for as we should, but the Holy Spirit interprets." Now that impressed me powerfully. And I remember, I think I've probably told you this story before, but it'll do in the telling again. It's a good story. We had a family and a couple of girls that came from a village called Mihayesh, which is not far from our village, and they used to come in with the other youngsters, and they were good lasses. And one day, Yulia, who's our interpreter and secretary and various other bits and pieces, she's a good lass, she said, there's a problem with the Mihayesh girls. So we talked to them, and they were going to lose their house. What had happened, you see, was about a year before, they had lost the house that they had in St. Paul. Now, there's no social services that rehouse you in Romania, certainly not in the villages. And I had a friend who had a house in this village of Mihayesh. And I phoned him up and I said, we've got this family that are going to be made homeless. Do you think that, because you don't use your house that you bought in Mihayesh, do you think that they could use it? And he said, yeah, no problem. I want to use for God. I said, it's going to be for a few years and they can't pay rent. It's all right. God bless them. So they moved into this house. And I thought that was good. It was a problem solved. But then this friend phoned me up and he said, Bob, I'm really, really sorry, but my circumstances have changed. And I've got to sell the house because we need the money. So we said, well, what we're going to... And it was 24,000, which is not a huge amount, is it? But in Romania, it's a lot. That's a few years' wages worth. And so what I should have done was go to this family and say, look, Daryl has to sell his house, and we're going to have to try and find you someplace else. But I felt in my spirit that that was the wrong thing to do. So I started getting up early in the morning, and walking from our house to the end of our village and back, praying in the spirit. And a month went by, nothing happened. 2 months went by, nothing happened. 3 months went by. We had a group that came out from, where was it from? Where? Paterson, that's right, London area. And there was this group had been a number of times before. There was an older couple, a bit younger than us, but older. And I hadn't seen them before. And we have devotions for the groups in the morning. And in the devotions I said, well, I'd like you to pray for this family who have been made homeless and they need a home. And that's all I said. So after the devotions, the guy came up to me afterwards and he said, what's the story about this family? So I told him the full story. Okay, he said, my wife and I will pray about that. And they did. And then actually they came up and they said, we want to buy that house for that family and give it to them. Now I think that that's a miracle and an answer to prayer. Because to give over £24,000 to people you've never met and you don't know. And I said, thank you, Lord. A little bit later on, because the father of this family had had a brain tumor and he'll never work again, and he's a poorly man. This is some years further on. It's very, very hard work because he's in a difficult situation. And I learned that his wife and he had parted company, and there was a divorce taking place. And again, I just felt in my spirit that this was not right. And so I started praying in the spirit again for these people. And you see, I have to say, I'm really condemning myself because I never ought to stop praying in the spirit like that, ought I? So much more could possibly be happening in the place if I was faithful to the things that God's given me. But anyway, I prayed for this family, and just very shortly afterwards, they were reconciled, and they're still together. And God's blessing them. I use that because these are just two of the illustrations of a number of things that have happened in Romania. And I want to tell you, friends, that praying in the Spirit is not really an optional extra for our Christian. It's something that God has made available to every one of us. And if we were to take literally and to take seriously what God is offering to us, the access into his divine presence, the power that is available in and through our lives, we would see radical changes in our own lives, in the lives of our homes and family, in the lives of our friends, in the lives of the area. I really do believe that. And that's why I think that this is a word from God for you. And if you take seriously what God is saying, see, the gift of tongues is only one of many other gifts, or at least nine lifted in the, you know, if the whole church were possessing its possession and receiving these gifts, oh boy, this church would be, you'd have to sack this school, you'd be looking for a cathedral-like place, you know. If we were to take seriously the provision that God makes for us. But this is a good start, isn't it? Because it's a personal gift that's accessible to every one of us. And if you use this gift, then God will change your life, the lives of those around you, your circumstances, our circumstances, and the whole area. I do believe that. Really do believe that. You see, Yonggi Cho didn't do these things on his own. When he started building this massive, massive church, he encouraged other people to come together regularly, to fast and pray for breaking them in, breaking their teeth in at 3 days, prayer and fasting, then 5 days and 7 days and so on and so forth. And there was a huge number of people who were accessing the corridors of divine power. And God blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. You know, the wonderful thing about praying in the Spirit is that you can do it anywhere. I, 2 or 3 times, usually drive back and forward from Romania to the UK. And it takes me about 40 hours. Not non-stop, you understand, but it's the kind of time. And as I'm driving along through Hungary and Austria and Germany and Belgium and Luxembourg and France, it's a bit tedious, I have to say. But you know, we have access to the throne of grace. And without taking my attention off the road, I can pray in the Spirit and seek the face of God. And you know, I feel my spirits being lifted. Sometimes when I'm getting a bit tired and I don't want to drink too much Red Bull or espresso coffee, praying in the Spirit's a wonderful alternative. In the night watches, you know, when you're not sleeping, do any of you find that you sometimes have long periods when you can't sleep? Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity to access the corridor of divine power, to pray in the Spirit. And God will just bless you, and more especially those around you. I would have to say this. I'd have to lay a little word of warning. If you start to become effective in the things of the kingdom of God, if you start to be a person who's bearing fruit, if you start to become a person who's effective, then you will be the subject of attack. And Jesus said, watch as well as pray. Be aware. Now that's where the whole armor of God comes into play. The whole armor of God. So if you're serious about seeking the face of God and walking in the corridors of divine power, put on the armor. Because you'll need it. You really will need it. Because you'll become a subject of attack. Well, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God be for us, who can be against us to prevail? So it's a word of warning, but it's not a fearful word. I'm just saying watch as well as pray. Do you want divine change in your own life, lives of those around you, the lives of the church, the lives of the area? Well, you know, if you want to see the kingdom of God come more and more, then let me urge you, walk in those corridors of divine power, because you will access power that is greater, more wonderful, more, it's a kindly power, isn't it? It's benign power. It's the power of God, his influence, his rule, his reign. If you want to see his influence, rule, and reign come more and more to your own life, to the lives of those around you, to your area, to your church, this is the way to go. Walk in the corridors of divine power. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Now, Martin did say, I don't know what the time is, there's much time left. few minutes. If there are those who, as the worship team, maybe lead one or two more songs. Could you sing that one? Just one touch of his. One touch from the key, because it's true. And maybe if there's a few who want to come out and want to do a little bit more business with God, want to be a bit more serious for God, want to know the gift that God gives of tongues or indeed any of the other gifts, then let's pray together. And just for a few minutes, not to take much time. If you don't want to come, that's okay, but take the word home with you anyway.